This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm Kip Allen, host for World Lutheran News Digest. We have two stories today. The first concerns the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. Pastor Craig D'Onofrio was in the nation's capital, and he covered the event for the World Lutheran News Digest. He speaks with representatives of Lutherans for Life and the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists about the issues. The second story concerns the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. The foundation's responsible for translating and distributing books such as Luther's Small Catechism and A Child's Garden of Bible Stories into more than 70 languages. The LHF has translated and distributed more than 700 titles into other languages. I speak with the foundation's executive director, Reverend Matt Heisey, about how he came to head this organization.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. January 27th was International Holocaust Remembrance Day, a day the United Nations designated to annually commemorate the victims of the Holocaust. January 27 was also the 70th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz-Birkenau, a notorious Nazi death camp. We must always remember the horror of the Holocaust and honor the memories of the millions of Jews whom the Nazis and their sympathizers slaughtered. However, remembering and honoring the victims, while vitally important, is not enough. We must also take action unequivocally condemning attacks against Jews whenever and wherever they occur. We must make certain that governments hold accountable perpetrators of anti-Semitic acts and rededicate ourselves to ensuring that such hatred, bigotry, racism, and prejudice is eliminated. We have our work cut out for ourselves, as the murder of four Jews in a kosher restaurant as part of the recent terrorist attacks in Paris sadly underscores. That was according to United States Commission on International Freedom Chairwoman Katrina Lantos-Sweat. In a case that's rallied proponents of religious freedom, Atlanta's ousted fire chief has filed a federal discrimination complaint against the city. He's arguing that his firing over a book critical of homosexuality was an attack on his faith. Kevin Cochran wrote a 2013 book titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked?, in which he called homosexuality vulgar and the opposite of purity. He was fired from his post earlier in January by Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed. The book expresses my deeply held religious beliefs on many subjects, Cochran wrote in the complaint to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I believe that I've been discriminated against because of my religion. On the other side, we intend to defend the mayor's decision vigorously, whether through the EEOC administrative process or any other appropriate forum, said Reed spokeswoman Ann Torres. Reed said in an earlier interview that Cochran was not fired due to his religious beliefs, but rather because of questions that arose about his judgment and ability to manage the department in connection with the book. Saudi Arabia's King Salman, who took the helm of the world's last absolute monarchy, faces turbulence at home and abroad, but is unlikely to change the course set by his predecessors. We will continue adhering to the correct policies which Saudi Arabia has followed since its establishment, the king said in his first speech after succeeding his half-brother, King Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz, who died at the age of 90. Salman, aged 79, was serving as defense minister when Saudi Arabia joined U.S.-led airstrikes against the Islamic State. Saudi Arabia's religious authorities, who control the judiciary, preach adherence to an interpretation of Islam that prohibits women from driving and punishes homosexuality with death. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages, There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
That's
bear.
What we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us live streaming archive.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man! No, it's not real wrestling, we're just talking about Bible issues!
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
I'm Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, World Lutheran News Digest. I, along with 200,000 other people, attended the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. The march commemorates the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion on demand in the United States. Since then, more than 56 million abortions have been performed in this country. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recognizes that human life begins at conception. Lutherans joined hundreds of thousands of others peacefully protesting the slaughter of innocents. One of the people I spoke with was the Reverend Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Lutherans for Life has been involved with the March for Life since 1979.
The Lutherans for Life officially was incorporated in 1979, but there was work done before that in 78. A group of Lutherans from a variety of denominations actually got together. The intent from the very beginning was that Lutherans for Life would reach out and serve all Lutherans.
Lamb says Lutheran participation started modestly.
In the early days, we have a chapter out, Lutherans for Life chapter out here that was active, and they would, Dennis DeMauro was the president of that chapter. He's still around, and he's a pastor now, actually. But he would organize people in the area to host families to come out, save a little money, you know, and come to the march. And we made a Lutherans for Life banner, and we'd walk, but, you know, we'd have six or seven people.
Since then, more and more people are joining Lutherans for Life and participating in the march.
Back in those days, it were very few. And if you had a pastor or two that showed up, and you were very pleased with that. So we're just very grateful how things have grown and how the church has realized more and more the importance and their responsibility of dealing with these issues. I've just seen a great shift that way.
Not only have the numbers of people involved increased, but also the issues themselves.
The issues themselves have greatly expanded, as you know. Early on, everything was about abortion.
The mission has grown to consider all aspects of life. One area of particular concern is the impact of post-abortion syndrome on both men and women, a condition similar to post-traumatic stress disorder in combat veterans.
You do something you really don't want to do. You do something that is absolutely contrary to natural law, and you can't stuff that down forever.
To help people suffering from post-abortion stress syndrome, Lutherans for Life have set up a counseling hotline.
Post-abortion syndrome has been very important to Lutherans for Life for a long time, and we have the only Lutheran hotline for post-abortive men and women to call.
The trauma of abortion strikes not just women, but men as well.
I had a call not too long ago, a young man in California, and he was just weeping on the phone. And his girlfriend was scheduled for an abortion the next day, and he wanted to know how he could stop it. And legally, of course, there's nothing that the father of that child can do.
Lamb says that the specter of abortion can remain with women for years.
We get calls on our hotline from nursing homes. Women at the end of their lives have yet to deal with an abortion that they had in the past.
There are other issues of concern to the pro-life movement. Stem cell research is one such issue. Stem cells from human embryos show promise for treating a number of human physical conditions. However, the procedure involves destroying an embryo in the process.
Lutherans for Life is involved in all of the life issues. Stem cell research, for example.
But Lamb says assisted suicide is increasingly coming to the forefront of life issues.
We have five states now that have legalized assisted suicide. When I started, there wasn't any states that did that. So, and when I get asked to speak now in congregations, that's what I get asked to speak about most, is end-of-life decisions.
Lamb says it is one thing to hope and pray for an end to suffering, but it is entirely different to take a human life before its time.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting Grandma to be with Jesus or even praying that God would come and take Grandma to be with Jesus, but to send Grandma to be with Jesus, that's where we have to cut it.
The so-called right to die issue has been in the news lately. In November, a terminally ill woman named Brittany Maynard ended her own life. It was a much-publicized incident covered in the media. She named a date for her death and ended her life by taking drugs prescribed by her doctor. This was done in the state of Oregon, where assisted suicide is legal. The story of Maggie Carner stands in stark contradiction to that of Maynard. Carner, the former director of LCMS Life and Health Ministries, has the same illness as Maynard. But Carner chose to live her remaining life to the fullest and begged Maynard to do the same. Carner attended this year's March for Life and received an honorary doctorate from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Carner was only the third woman to be so honored in the seminary's 168-year history. Not all those attending the March for Life are associated with religious organizations. One such participating group is the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Pastor Josh Osborne, communications director for the group, says they formed right after the Roe v. Wade decision.
We've been around since April of 1973, right after the Roe v. Wade decision came down.
There were other issues that helped start the organization.
There's a group out there called the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. In late 1972, they published two papers that essentially called for abortion on demand in young girls without parental consent. Well, then comes the Supreme Court decision in January. Then in April of 1973, our group started as a special interest group within the American College of OB-GYNs, and we've been going ever since.
Executive Director Donna Harrison says the vast majority of obstetricians and gynecologists do not perform abortions.
But what happens is it turns out that 85% of OBGYNs do not do abortions. It's only 15%, and most abortions are not done by OBGYNs.
In fact, in California, it doesn't even have to be a doctor who performs an abortion.
In California, there was a recent law passed that allows midwives to do abortions.
Harrison says pro-abortion supporters base their argument on four main points, none of them which are accurate. The first is the claim that a fetus is not a human being.
The first one was the lie that this is a blob of tissue, but anybody with an ultrasound or has seen an ultrasound knows that that's just a lie.
Harrison says medical science leaves no doubt that life begins at conception.
We have 200 years of biology that shows that when the sperm meets the egg, you have a unique, genetically unique and completely viable individual. So from the time of fertilization on, this is a new human being.
Another argument used by pro-abortion advocates is that abortion is good for women. Harrison says abortion is actually harmful to women, both physically and psychologically.
The second one is the lie that abortion is good for women, and that's actually what my organization exists to do. We exist to make known the effects of abortion on women, which include preterm birth, breast cancer, and suicide and depression.
The third argument is that some types of people are undesirable in society. In fact, Planned Parenthood's founder spoke often of weeding out undesirables through segregation and forced sterilization.
The third leg is this idea that there are people that we don't want around, and that's why abortion clinics are located primarily in African American and Latino communities. From the very beginning, Planned Parenthood was eugenic, and that they were actually started as the American Eugenics Society.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Abortion Surveillance Report revealed that between 2007 and 2010, nearly 36% of all abortions in the United States were performed on black children, even though African Americans make up only 13% of the population. A further 21% of abortions were performed on Hispanics and 7% more on other minority groups, for a total of 64% of U.S. abortions performed on minority groups. The fourth argument is that abortion empowers women. Harrison says the only people abortion empowers are irresponsible men.
And then the fourth one is this issue of women's empowerment. But the only people that abortion empowers are the irresponsible men who father a child and walk away.
The country remains bitterly divided on the issue of abortion. According to a recent Gallup poll, 47% of the people favor abortion on demand, and 46% are pro-life. There is no such division for Christians. Lutherans know life begins at conception and should remain until we're called home. Craig D'Onofrio, World Lutheran News Digest.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Let go of me, man! No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance, Sunday at 9:15 a.m. right here on KFUO Radio. Each week, I have the privilege of producing a quarter hour of message, music, and prayer blended together to fit a special theme for that day. You'll hear messages of hope and complete confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You'll hear choirs and instrumentals to support the message as well. So I invite you to join me. That's Moments of Assurance, Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by the Wilongasi Lutheran Fahawa.
Pastor Matt Heise is on his second career. He spent much of his adult life as a school teacher.
I was a high school teacher in Detroit Catholic schools, of all things. I taught history, U.S. government, you name it, track coach, basketball coach, all those things combined into one, it seems.
But teaching in Detroit seemed to lack something for him, so he took a leave of absence to teach in Russia.
I took a two-year break to go overseas to Russia in the mid-90s, and that was through the LCMS World Mission Volunteer Program, teaching English.
After teaching abroad, returning to teaching in American public schools just didn't have the same attraction for him anymore. He felt a different calling.
I got the bug over there and could never quite get it out. And so when I returned back in the late 90s, I tried teaching at a public high school. It didn't quite work and ended up going to the seminary and was immediately put on mission track.
It was only natural for him to be sent back to Russia after his ordination.
So when I went back, actually, I went on a two-year vicarage working on the language in 2001. And from 2001 to 2003, I did my vicarage in Moscow.
Following his vicarage, his call came, and he stayed in Russia for more than an additional 10 years, preaching the gospel to Russians in their own language.
And that gravitated into a call in 2003, and I've served pretty much the last, counting those 2 years for vicarage, almost 13 years overseas.
In April of this year, Pastor Heise became the executive director of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, a natural match given his experience in Russia. Actually, the LHF was founded specifically to spread the gospel in Russia following the collapse of communism.
Lutheran Heritage Foundation was actually founded about 20 years ago, and ironically, it was its work began in Russia. That was just as the Soviet Union fell. Our founder, Dr. Robert Rahn, had the opportunity.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice, or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, Missouri, where Reverend Matthew Rugland leads divine worship. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where Senior Pastor Ron Rahl presides during the worship service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Publish, distribute, and introduce what we call Lutheran literature. And so the basic idea here is it's Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. Those are usually the phrases that we use to describe what we're doing.
And that mission has expanded enormously.
Actually, we work now in about 85 languages and in over 90 countries.
Mission work continues in parts of the world where there are many language groupings, such as in Africa.
Well, in certainly Komba language is one in Ghana, and Kusal, these are languages I hadn't heard of before. In Benin and West Africa, it's Fon. But when you go into other countries that maybe that have not really had Luther's small catechism, for example, Mongolia now, we're beginning to experiment with work there. And among Iranian refugees outside of Iran, in eastern Germany, so Farsi naturally would be their dominant language.
The number of languages and countries served continues expanding.
What LHF, of course, has been doing, and what we end up doing so often in Africa, is you're always discovering a new tribal language. So on the whole, when I look at the map, I see that we've covered most of the countries of the world.
There are many works to be translated, but Pastor Heise says two particular works are always translated.
Probably the two books that are the initial translations in almost every language is Luther's Small Catechism, maybe just the Enchiridion at start, and then eventually kind of working into the explanation, and Children's Garden Book of Bible Stories, the old Arthur Gross CPH book from the late 40s.
There is one geographic exception that is resistant to the spread of the gospel, that being the Islamic areas of North Africa and the Middle East.
Of course, there's this northern stretch of Africa where, of course, the Islamic armies came across in the 7th century and early 8th century, and that is pretty much still untouched by us for obvious reasons.
Christianity is not tolerated in many parts of the Islamic world. Some countries are openly hostile to the message of Christ, and there's religious upheaval throughout much of that region.
Just the basic understanding that Christianity is clearly almost being exterminated from the Middle East. Simultaneously, what I find intriguing is that Muslims are really beginning to grapple with the whole notion of what their faith means.
There is much violence among Muslims themselves, with Sunni and Shiite often at armed conflict. Many Muslims of both sects come to the United States where there is no religious oppression. Mission work goes on in many of these immigrant communities. Some Muslims find themselves asking questions that they could not ask in their home countries.
So there are opportunities to begin to kind of explore who Jesus is, too, because once Muslims begin to look at him and compare him to Muhammad, what I've heard is, obviously, Muhammad certainly comes up short. And they begin to try to seriously begin to wrestle with the claims of who Jesus is, and that opens up the door to the New Testament.
The risen Lord commanded his followers to make disciples of the nations. Those nations are now coming to us and can hear the word. For more information about the work of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, go to www.lhsmissions.org. Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest. World Lutheran News Digest can be heard every Saturday morning at 9:30 Central Time on KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us next week for another edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.